This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ben Fennell joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Ben, welcome back for another good year of Packers football and another year of breaking down film. You're one of the best in the business. We appreciate the time.
Well, it's always a pleasure to hop on with you, and it's preseason week two, and there's no place I'd rather be than ready to look at some football tonight.
No doubt about it, and for me, I'm just more excited to, and I know this sounds, you know, cheese ball of me or cheese head of me, if you want to say it that way. I'm excited just to see Aaron Rodgers in a new offense.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair for most Packers fans and football fans in general. It's always exciting to watch Aaron Rodgers out there, and there's some new life in Green Bay. There's a new offense, and there's that little bit of unknown optimism, which is always exciting anytime you have some new coaches and some new voices in there. We're hoping to see some new things. So it's an exciting time. It's just an unknown, uncharted time for Aaron Rodgers.
I want your take on Jake Kumerow and how good you think this dude is, how good you think he can be, because that dude is loved here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player, and he does all the dirty work and all the stuff you would expect a bottom of the roster, you know, player to do. And obviously, playing really well, whether it's with the starters when he gets those opportunities, or playing well on special teams, or with the third unit, the fourth unit, maybe being the Z in the offense with one group, and then over to the F, and then playing the X when the receiver goes down. And that's everything you want from that bottom of the roster guy. It's just a matter if the numbers make sense and if there's room for him at the end of the summer.
And I think you look at some of these guys that they've talked about. Kumerow's one of those guys, but I think you also look at, they have a lot of young guys right now being like at certain spots that they really haven't seen, like Savage. I mean, he's going to get a shot tonight. And what have you seen so far out of him? Not much, obviously.
Well, we haven't seen a lot. Obviously, he's been up and down in camp and then has the wisdom teeth out. But what I saw on the tape at the University of Maryland was an explosive player that I really haven't seen on the back end of the Packers defense in maybe 10, 15 years, since the likes of, you know, Nick Collins and Leroy Butler out there. But a guy that is a legit 4-3 player that gets from point A to point B in a flash. He's got coverage instincts. He's got ball skills. He loves to blitz and play aggressive. He's a little bit undersized, but man, just haven't had that type of playmaker over the defense. And I think that revolving door we've had at the safety position, and we really haven't gotten the plays out of our linebacking unit over the past couple years. I think this type of safety and the nucleus of the defense right in the middle is just going to be a big play waiting to happen.
I think another part of that, and you talk about keep it right in the secondary, is a second-year leap that you expect to see from Jaire Alexander, some thinking that it could be a Pro Bowl, All-Pro type leap.
I really think he's on a trajectory to put himself into the conversation of being All-Pro cornerback, and there's only two of those in the NFL. And I really think it might not be this year. I think he's kind of looking at a Pro Bowl, and then if he stays on the path, man, this kid has all the tools, and what he put on tape as a rookie, which you really don't get from rookie cornerbacks. Jaire Alexander last year and Marshawn Lattimore with the Saints the year before were some of the most impressive rookie performances I've ever seen, because it's typically a learn-on-the-job position. You're going to go through some lumps, and typically you don't really get your footing until year two, even into year three. That's what Darrell Revis had to do, even being a first-round pick. That's what Richard Sherman did up in Seattle. It took kind of a two-year developmental process, and you have to really go through some lumps and learn on the job at cornerback. I was very impressed with what Jaire Alexander did last year.
Can we just stay right there, Steve, with the corners? And so Kevin King, Tony Brown?
Well, Kevin King, unless he can prove he can be a consistent contributor and stay on the field, I'm going to reserve judgment, because I really haven't been able to see him on a week-to-week basis on the field. And until I do, I really have to reserve judgment until I see him healthy and a consistent contributor. Tony Brown, I think, is another guy on the bottom of the roster. Obviously, he played a little bit last year, so he knows the system. Coming back to the defense, he has all the talent and the upside in the world. He's another legit freak athlete, a legit 4-3 player. And it's just a matter of where you feel comfortable playing him. If he's a guy that can be your fifth corner and maybe be your third nickel and even contribute in the safety positions, that's a valuable, versatile member with a lot of athleticism. And if a guy like that can embrace the special teams aspect of the football team, this is a guy you want on your roster. I'm a big Tony Brown fan.
Good. All right, since we're talking about people that can't stay healthy, let's move on to Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, both of whom are having issues staying healthy, obviously, this year. Aaron Jones having issues staying healthy in general in his career at this point. How different is this offense than if they can't stay on the field during the season?
Well, I expect it to be a running back by committee, and I'm just hoping for a collective emphasis to the run game. It doesn't have to be 300 touches for Aaron Jones or an equal distribution, more of just a collective philosophical commitment to the run game. Last year, the Packers were last in the league with 333 running attempts. That's the fewest a team has ended the season with since the 2013 Atlanta Falcons. That's nearly six seasons of football, and they had the fewest rushing attempts last year. This team needs an identity, and I think if you have that identity through the run game, through the offensive line, through this kind of stable of running backs, I see the preservation of Aaron Rodgers' career through the run game. And maybe it isn't the sexiest when you have the best-armed quarterback in the league and a playmaker at the quarterback position, but if you can build this offense through the run game and then add all those wrinkles and all those different concepts you could build off the run game, like we see in San Francisco, like we see Sean McVay running with the Los Angeles Rams, I just think the sky is the limit if you can just build a philosophical commitment to running the ball.
Talking with Ben Fennell at @BenFennell_NFL. Follow along with his film breakdowns each week of the Green Bay Packers. Ben, the position grouping breakdown is, I think, something that I'm very excited to see. When you look at like the Sean McVay style, they stick to usually one personnel grouping or a couple multitudes of a personnel grouping. If this is more Kyle Shanahan style with Matt LaFleur, I know we're going to see a lot of 21 personnel and a lot of 22 personnel, two backs and two wide receivers. But the fullback emphasis is something that's going to be new or new to you if you're a Packer fan just missing from last year.
Yeah, I mean, Sean McVay, he's a sicko. He played 11 personnel close to 98% last year. That is really tough to do in today's NFL climate when you have all these versatile running backs and different tight ends and you want to try to manipulate defenses of personnel groupings. McVay's like, you know what? The heck with it. We're going with the same look, the same players, 11 personnel, three receivers, let's roll. And it works for him because he has a system that all looks the same, so defenses really don't know what to expect. Now, it's definitely going to be more of the Kyle Shanahan offense. Multiple personnel groupings, a two-back sets like you had mentioned. They're not going to be shy about getting multiple tight ends on the field either. We're still going to see a heavy dose of 12 personnel, maybe even 13 personnel with three tight ends on the field, considering the way Robert Tonyan and Jimmy Graham and obviously Jake Sternberger can contribute in the pass game. Obviously, getting those multiple tight ends and just messing with defenses and manipulating them through personnel groupings is really an exciting, you know, optimism for an offense. And a lot of these players aren't always going to be lined up where you think they are. I think we may have some fullback sets where the fullback's going to be lined up out wide. And that helps quarterbacks and offenses acquire information from defenses. And if you're not using these different personnel groupings and these variety of players to help acquire information and manipulate defenses, you're not playing the game. And that's really what offense is all about in football.
Ben, let me ask you this. This may be a tough question for you to answer, but if you look at the offensive personnel for the Rams or for the 49ers versus the offensive personnel for the Green Bay Packers, who would have the advantage? How would you rank that?
That's a really good question. Now, I think the personnel of the Rams is interesting. I think they have some very good route runners and some sure-handed receivers in Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. I don't think their tight end group is overly dynamic. They have Gerald Everett in there. They have Tyler Higbee, who's a little bit more of a blocking tight end. And we all know how good Todd Gurley is.
Right.
A lot of defenses are looking at that stable of weapons and saying, even Jared Goff, they're saying, who do we need to stop? That guy in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
And they commit to running the ball, and they make defenses stop the run. The most frustrating aspect, when I look at the Packers offense, and then I look at the Rams, or even Blake Bortles with the Jags a couple years ago, or mm-hmm. when Case Keenum went to the NFC Championship game with the Vikings, Aaron Rodgers is more talented than all these quarterbacks.
Correct.
But he doesn't need to be a superhero for you to move the ball down the field consistently. Jared Goff is an average quarterback, but this is an elite scheme. If your scheme wins, your quarterback doesn't need to be a hero.
Oh,
he doesn't need to extend the play and break the pocket and make these miraculous tight window throws. Play within structure. Trust the system. Trust that the scheme is going to give you answers to problems. If there's a pressure problem, we have an answer. If they're playing man, we have an answer. Zone coverage, we have an answer. Your offense should have answers. And if you trust the scheme and trust the system, Aaron Rodgers is way more talented than all these quarterbacks. And
so
my
now,
moniker over the last year has been offense doesn't have to be so hard.
So now you are getting, I guess, to the crux of the matter.
The crux is that
can Aaron Rodgers play within the system and play within the scheme? Because it just felt like oftentimes under Mike McCarthy, he was basically all over the place doing his own thing. And I understand in this, in LaFleur's offense, the audibles are going to be at a minimum.
Well, and that's a great point that he had, because he's saying, well, why would you want to throw out 11 years of my knowledge?
Right.
Because the offense is going to have answers. We won't need you to make all these checks.
Oh, my gosh.
The offense has structural answers to defensive problems. And if he has to trust the system and the scheme. And listen, Aaron Rodgers has blessed us with amazing plays outside of structure, improvisational, extending the play, scramble drill. He's earned every right to play however he wants to. But that tank dried up. In the last 2 years, it completely dried up. Now we need to pull the reins back and pull him back within structure. And I really think I could see the preservation of his career through structure and through the run game. Look at any quarterback that plays into the twilight of their career, into their 40s. Everybody plays from the pocket first and foremost. You don't see Kurt Warner breaking the pocket or Drew Brees or Tom Brady. They play from the pocket because they know what they're looking at. They're distributors first and foremost, and they're playing within structure. We don't need them to be superheroes. Just run the offense.
Yeah, Ben, man, this is amazing. I mean, this is good. This is good stuff.
We missed him, Leroy. We missed him.
Yeah.
He laid it down.
I'm glad I booked you for today. This is amazing. I want to talk about Kevin King for just five minutes.
We already talked about him, Leroy.
Yeah, but I want to ask a different question.
Okay.
The competitive part of the Tony Browns of the world, the Jair Alexanders of the world, does it really matter who's at corner or safety, if it's a rookie, if Summers is the middle linebacker? It doesn't matter if the scheme is not a scheme that everybody buys into. If it's a good scheme, will it work and you don't need a lot of Pro Bowlers? I'm just building off your last point.
Yeah, and, you know, it's all a matter of how you're dialing up that scheme. If it's Mike Pettin with the Jets and you're playing a press lock and you're playing quarters with the safeties rotated over the other side, He's looking for a superhero corner that you don't need help over the top and to play press man and leave him alone. Now, that's a scheme that you're looking for superheroes. If you don't play that type of scheme, yes, the defense is much more interchangeable. You could have young players. You could have some veterans. If everybody trusts the scheme, understands their assignments, which was the most impressive part of Mike Pettin last year, is there were very few coverage busts. There were very few confused players out in the secondary, which I felt really was the problem with Dom Capers' scheme, is there was always confusion and busts and guys in the wrong spot.
Yes.
Confusion with different zones on the back end and whether people had help over the top. And I was just very impressed that Mike Pettin came in with a new coach, a new voice, a new scheme, and a lot of young players to work in. And everybody seemed to understand what they were trying to do. So if you have that collective cohesion, I think it should be interchangeable, and it really doesn't matter who you're out there.
Well, last one, we're going to let you get going, Ben.
I want to ask real quick about Devontae Adams. Why doesn't he get the respect to Antonio Brown, to DeAndre Hopkins, to Julio Jones, all these guys, these top guys? But I guess a lot of people had him number one wide receiver in fantasy football. Why doesn't Devontae Adams get enough credit?
You know, he gets credit among his peers. And I know deep down that's what matters to him most. And when he hears those other corners talking on top 100 on how wicked his releases are and how nasty his routes are at the top of the stem, I think that's what matters to him first and foremost. Obviously, everybody wants a little love and attention from the fans, but I feel like his kind of development as a receiver really over the last 2 and 3 years has been when the offense has kind of gone down. So when he could kind of go up, when the team and the offense is also ascending, now you have a national star. So I think if he keeps up this kind of trajectory and the team is going to start winning, make it back to the playoffs, win a playoff game, now you're getting some national attention. And if I could just throw in one last point that I've kind of talked about all summers with Aaron Rodgers and the whole argument of Aaron Rodgers and whether you should allow him to be in structure or out of structure. The one point I just kind of gave as an example a couple weeks ago was if it's 3rd and 4 and they're slant flat and you have the read that you want and the slant is wide open.
He's going deep, Ben. He's going deep. He's going deep,
if
Ben.
If the quarterback doesn't throw it, breaks the pocket and runs for 5 yards, do you give him a positive or do you give him a negative? And I give that quarterback a negative 8 days out of the week. You design plays with execution in mind to run the play that's called, and if you got what you want, you take it every time. We don't rely on improvisation. If offense is there that we design, you take it.
So Ben, so we'll get going on this, but but who's going to hold this guy accountable for that? That's not going to happen.
That's what I don't know, Gary, and I don't really know. And every camp, I promise you, Bill Belichick in front of the team puts up Tom Brady's worst clips to the entire team. And he sits there like a curmudgeon and says, oh, look at this. We got a quarterback who can't even complete a ball to the flat. Man, we're not going to win any games this year. That's not for Tom. That's for the entire team to know nobody gets a free pass. Even our best player has to be held accountable just as much as everybody else. And that's what I don't know has been going on in the building. I don't know if he's been held accountable. I don't know if he's coachable. I'm not in there every day. But those are the things I'm kind of wondering. And, yes, number 12 does need to be held accountable. He's talented, but he's also flawed.
Let's get real quick. I love this. We could talk later. But let's get – when are you going to come in studio? No, that's okay.
Got no budget for that.
We can fly him in here, Roy. You got a lot of money. You're going to be a Hall of Famer one day. Let's get to the front seven. This front seven, the Smith guys, Fackrell, Rashawn Gary – Gilbert, are we better than what we were last year with this group?
I think so, because my one element of the team that I didn't think we had, whether it was Mike Daniels or Nick Perry, they lacked it an explosive element.
Right.
Now, they had some disruption. Mike Daniels is a disruptor. Nick Perry is a disruptor. But it just takes some time. It's a bit of a slow burn pass rush. Za'Darius Smith has an explosive element to him. Rashawn Gary, man, you can't teach 6'3", 270 and run a 4.58. Mm-hmm. This guy is an explosive player. And when you look at the best defenses around the NFL, it's the teams that disrupt and disrupt quickly. And that's whether it's the Bears front or the Eagles defensive line. And I think if you get more players that can win quickly with an explosive first step, with a violent demeanor to them, like a Za'Darius Smith, like a Preston Smith, like a Rashawn Gary. I think these guys you want that are going to disrupt faster for you.
Ben, appreciate the time, man. We can't wait to talk during the football season and hold that man accountable, and we'll hold the entire team accountable with your film breakdowns. Guys, if you're not following along right now with Ben Fennell, at Ben Fennell _NFL, you're not being the smartest Packer fan you can be. He will help you be a smarter Packer fan with the film breakdowns. Ben, appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Love you, fellas.
Yep.
That's Ben Fennell joining us again on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.